There is an idea that troubles the church, or an idea that we disagree with, and that is the idea that the law of God have been taken away, have been done away with. And those ideas are based on some of the things that Paul wrote as he battled false ideas that were being taught in his churches. And so the nature of that battle, therefore, is important, if not critical, to understanding those hard-to-be-understood things. Peter says there are hard things that are hard to be understood. And in the commentaries, that battle is often portrayed as against certain Jewish Christians who wanted to drag the church back into law-keeping. So they are called Judaizers by the commentaries because they supposedly advocated circumcision and Sabbath keeping and holy days and all those kinds of things. That's the common idea, that Paul is battling the way Judaism observes the law. But today I'd like to cite some old historical documents, statements about another kind of Jew who were a problem to the church, to the early church, specifically an example of one man. He happens to be a good example, by the name of Cerinthus. Hence my title is Cerinthus and the Church. Cerinthus lived approximately 20 to 100 AD. So his active career was almost exactly during the writing of the New Testament. What we know about him is not from Scripture, he's not mentioned in Scripture, but is mostly from two sources, Irenaeus and Epiphanius. First one there, Irenaeus is the older one. He was a Christian writer born in Smyrna in Asia Minor about 135, and so he would be writing around 185. So Irenaeus claimed to be a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John. So he's not too far removed from the apostles. Irenaeus tells us four things about Cerinthus. One, that Cerinthus was a Jew, educated in Egypt, a Jew. Two, that he taught that the creator of the world was a lower being than God. He was ignorant of the true God. It's a very anti-Jewish, you wouldn't expect that from a Jew, but it's a very anti-Jewish idea, that the God of the Bible was ignorant of the true God. Thirdly, that the man, Jesus, was just a man, but that the Christ descended on him at his baptism, and from then on, he revealed the true God to his followers. And fourthly, Cerinthus taught that the man, Jesus, suffered and died, but the Christ was a spirit separate from him and did not die. It's a mixture of Jewish and Christian ideas with some other weird stuff, Hellenism. The fact that Cerinthus was educated in Egypt, however, is significant as to where such ideas came from. You know, Alexandria in Egypt was the center of Hellenistic learning. You know, it housed the great ancient library of Alexandria. There were a great number of Jews in Alexandria, especially in Alexandria, there were certain Jewish philosophers who were trying to reconcile the Bible with Hellenistic religion. And Cerinthus was an even more radical form of that blending of the scriptures with Hellenistic religion. That's one source that we know about, from whom we know about Cerinthus. The second source is Epiphanius. He was a later writer. Epiphanius was raised in Palestine and Egypt, eventually became a bishop in the Roman church on the island of Cyprus. And he wrote much later, about 375. So we're talking about 300 years after the events that were of the New Testament. He's very biased against the heresies, such as those of Cerinthus, and he exaggerates some. But I'm going to claim that he's still much closer to the events of the New Testament than the commentaries of the 16th, 18th, 17th, 18th centuries. These two connect Cerinthus to the New Testament in five ways, five places. Number one, in Jerusalem. Ever heard of Cerinthus in Jerusalem? On leaving Egypt, according to Epiphanius, Cerinthus is next recorded to be in Jerusalem. And he ties Cerinthus with the events of Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 10 is where Peter is sent to the Roman centurion Cornelius. You know, he was given a vision teaching him that he should call no people unclean. And then he was sent to baptize Cornelius, an uncircumcised Roman, and his family. And the reaction to that conversion and that baptism is recorded in Acts 11. Second and third verses of Acts 11. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem after that baptism, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into men uncircumcised and did eat with them." Now that expression, "they that were of the circumcision," is a little unclear to me. The whole church in Jerusalem were Jews. Every single male in the church in Jerusalem was circumcised. So who were they that were of the circumcision? It seems to be a specific group of people who insisted on circumcision for the Gentile converts. Epiphanius is the one who puts a name to such a person. Quote, "He," meaning Cerinthus, "is also one of those who opposed St. Peter because he had gone to Cornelius. And so Cerinthus stirred up the circumcised multitudes, stirred them up over Peter on his return to Jerusalem by saying, 'He went into men uncircumcised,'" which was Acts 11, 2 and 3. Whether this group really included Cerinthus, I can't say for sure. The Bible doesn't say, does it? It just says, "they that were of the circumcision." But I bring up Epiphanius' account because it's a point of view that you don't get when you read the Bible commentaries. They are sure that those who advocated circumcision must have been Jews, which they were. But they never admit that those Jews might be Jews like Cerinthus. But here we have a record of a Hellenistic Jew teaching heresy about the nature of God and Christ and coming from Alexandria to Jerusalem and named here as opposing Peter's baptizing of Gentiles. That's the first connection to the New Testament. The second one is Cerinthus in Antioch. In Antioch, Acts 15, a few pages over. Are you familiar with how Acts 15 begins? Luke writes, "Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, 'Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" And of course, it was these teachers who provoked the conference at Jerusalem about the issue of circumcision. And at the conclusion of the conference, they concluded that physical circumcision was no longer required, of course. Nothing new, the same conclusion they had reached back in chapter 11. But at the end of the conference, James also adds that the apostles had not sent these certain men. They had gone there on their own to preach their own doctrine. And the troublemakers in Antioch were unnamed. Again, certain men came to Antioch. But Epiphanius puts a name. He's speaking of the heretics, at least such as Cerinthus and those like him. He says, quote, "After they had rebelled, become false apostles, and sent other apostles, first to Antioch, as I have said already, and to other places, to say, 'Except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" Continuing in the quote, "And these are the ones the apostle Paul calls false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." He's quoting 2 Corinthians 11 there. men like Cerinthus. The certain men in Acts 15 had come from Judea, that we know from Scripture, and we know that Cerinthus is known to have been there. Second, they had taken it on themselves to preach this doctrine, their own doctrine. They were Jews who had first contended with Peter years earlier about circumcision, but they went to Antioch and preached their own doctrine anyway. And thirdly, when the conference was arranged, they did not go with Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, did they? They had already apparently argued their beliefs with the apostles of Jerusalem previously, and now they didn't care what the apostles in Jerusalem thought. These, Epiphanius says, were men such as Cerinthus. Thirdly, Cerinthus in Galatia. After Acts 15, the heresy appears in Corinth, and then it appears in Galatia. They're preaching another gospel, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Their false brethren unawares brought in, according to Galatians 2, verse 4. And they are preaching circumcision. They are not righteous Jews. We know that from Paul's words in Galatians 6, 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised, talking about these people who teach it, keep the law. Neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They are not law-keeping Jews. They are Jews. They're just like the certain men of Acts 15, and Epiphanius connects Cerinthus with Galatia. Speaking of the followers of Cerinthus, quote, "For their school reached its height in this country, I mean Asia, and in Galatia as well." So here he is saying that Cerinthus was teaching in the province of Galatia in the first century. Fourthly, Cerinthus in Asia. In the 60s, the problem next appears in Asia, specifically in the city of Colossae, and hence the letter to the Colossians. It's a response, you know, to a plea for help from the elder there. And again, in Colossians, a major topic is the problem, is circumcision. Epiphanius also abundantly connects Cerinthus with Asia. Quote, "Cerinthus lived in Asia and began his preaching there." And also he says, "Cerinthus did this before preaching his doctrine in Asia and falling into the deeper pit of his destruction, for because he was circumcised himself, he sought an excuse through circumcision, if you please, for his opposition to the uncircumcised believers." So Epiphanius is a witness that Cerinthus taught in both the provinces of Galatia and Asia. And fifthly, Cerinthus and the Apostle John. He's best known, the story you've probably heard about Cerinthus, the best known story about him is from Irenaeus, and it involves John. After Paul's death, you know, the Apostle John apparently took over pastoring the congregations, Paul's congregations in Asia, around Ephesus. That would have been late in the century, late in the first century. And it's Irenaeus who tells us the story of John versus Cerinthus. Irenaeus, again, Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John. Irenaeus says, quote, "There are also those who heard from Polycarp." So this is a story that he's repeating, that he heard from Polycarp, "that John, the disciple of the Lord, going to bathe at Ephesus, and perceiving Cerinthus within, rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, 'Let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is within.'" It is also Irenaeus who tells us that John wrote his gospel to counter the teachings of Cerinthus, the teaching that the true God is higher than the Creator. Cerinthus taught that the Logos was the Christ Spirit that came from the true God into Jesus. And therefore the idea was that the Logos was not related to the Creator. Against this and similar heresies, John writes the Gospel of John. So, what is the context of Paul's words that are hard to understand, that people twist to say that the law is done away? Were Paul's opponents Judaizing Christians, or were they something else? We don't know exactly who they were. Paul doesn't mention names. We don't know their names for sure. Irenaeus and Epiphanius are not scripture. Can't believe everything that they wrote. But on the other hand, modern commentators are not scripture either, are they? I think we also need to listen to the voices of those who were close, much closer than the modern commentators to those events. These two writers are from the 2nd and the 4th centuries, 1,500 years closer, than at least 1,500 years closer than modern commentaries. We have these historical records of an example teacher, then, a Jew of Alexandria. We have a man who teaches circumcision and Hellenistic heresies about Jesus Christ. We have a man who opposes Peter over the baptism of Cornelius. We have a man who teaches circumcision in Antioch, according to these writers, who establishes schools of his philosophy in Asia and in Galatia in the 50s and 60s, and who opposes John at the end of the first century. So I think Cerinthus, if he is not actually the person named in these connections, isn't a good example of who and what Paul is battling when he makes those arguments that are hard to be understood.